Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio's second Friday food, wine, and travel show with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. So every second Friday, you will find Nancy and I here on Big Blend Radio chatting with travel writers, food writers, wine writers, authors. It is really cool. We get to go around the world, across the country, and I encourage you to go to their website, ifwtwa.org, and follow them on social media because you will really get a taste of the world. It's really cool. So today we're very excited. We're going to welcome Amy Bazzari on the show. She is an author, a travel writer, a teacher, a tour guide, a certified wine expert, and I'm not joking. She's a mermaid.
That is true. I am a mermaid.
Yes.
Yes.
Does that come with the wine?
It sounds like I may have become a mermaid while drinking too much wine, but no, in fact, I trained with the Weeki Wachee Mermaids, and that is a troop of mermaids at a mid-century attraction in northwestern Florida. I don't know. Have you heard of the Weeki Wachee Mermaids? Weeki Wachee Mermaids, they were a huge thing in the 1950s. And I found out that you can go there and train alongside them. And I spent 3 days swimming in this incredible Florida spring with the mermaids. So I just gave myself the title. I'm a mermaid.
Well, that's cool. And, you know, there's a lot of that is to let girls know that they can be beautiful and strong, and it's like girls empowerment.
Yes. It was an incredible experience. If you are ever in that corner of Florida, make sure to check out the Weeki Wachee Mermaids. They are still performing. It is a
cool
theater next to a spring, and it's really incredible.
We've been in Northwest Florida all last year, up and down. We keep going there because we like the springs and the swamps.
Yeah.
But you don't want the mermaid to meet the gator, but it could happen.
No. Yeah. Lots of gators, manatees.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Great.
That's cool.
Corner of Florida. Yeah.
So did you have a mermaid tail?
I did. So cool. Every day I needed to put on flippers, and over the flippers, I would put my mermaid tail on.
Cool.
It was very cumbersome.
I bet.
Getting into the water. But once I was in the water, I felt incredibly free and really, it's incredible. The only problem was that spring water is very cold. So that was my only issue.
Yeah.
Could have been a little bit warmer, but.
Yeah. It depends on the time of year too, you know, but you're based up in Chicago. And I think this is so cool. You've written a number of books on Chicago, but your brand new book is coming out in May. What was it? Yes. May 16th. So right
That's
after this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So everybody, it is called Iconic Hollywood Dishes, Drinks, and Desserts. It is awesome. This takes you to classic Hollywood, and some of the drinks and recipes, I was like, oh, no way. I didn't know the Shirley Temple came from there. You know,
yeah,
there's so
cool.
many mm-hmm. things. It's all through American palate. So I encourage you to follow Amy. You're on Instagram is the main place, right?
Yeah, that's my main place. And my articles appear everywhere, but I'll usually share on Instagram and let people know when I have an article coming up too. Yeah.
Mm. Awesome. And for the book, people can pre-order it as well through
you
Amazon.
You can pre-order all those places. It on any online bookseller or at your local bookstore, or pre-order it at your library. Make a request for it.
Cool. Yeah. So this is your fifth book. And I mean, you're racking them up, and your tour guide. So you've done a lot on Chicago. What led you to go, now I'm going to go to Hollywood and geek out on the recipes and the Hollywood glam?
Yes. So I am also an aspiring screenwriter. So I've spent a lot of time in Los Angeles. I attended a lot of Writers Guild events, the Screenwriters Association events. courses and networking events. And I was just inspired about the culinary history of Los Angeles. My previous book was Chicago's iconic dishes, desserts, and drinks. And I thought, I need to follow this up with a Los Angeles dishes, desserts, and drinks book. And what sets my book apart is that all of the recipes I feature, all of the dishes, desserts, and drinks that I feature are born in LA. So they are from Los Angeles, tried and true Hollywood recipes.
Very cool.
Okay. I have to tell you that I was born and raised in Hollywood, and my brother and I used to sneak out the window and go down to the Sunset Strip area.
Oh, I love it.
And we used to peek in windows of restaurants to see if we could see what movie stars were eating.
Oh my gosh.
And we did it so often that the security guards as well, it's just them. And sometimes they give us food and they go like, so-and-so wait, was eating part of this. And
that's so cool.
So we're like the little ruffians of Hollywood. And we used to just peek in windows and see, and we'd argue over who we saw.
Oh, I love it.
And you know, I don't know that we ever really even saw who we thought we were seeing, you know, because we were just kids.
Yeah. Like,
we're maybe 11, 12.
Oh, how fun. Yeah. Did you ever spot any major stars while you were out and about?
You know, yes. Glenn Campbell.
Oh, okay. Chris Christopherson. Yes. Ed Asner. She's got a whole other life. And anybody who knows the other story on Glenn Campbell, we will behave now.
But I was thinking.
Glenn Campbell, a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, fun. I was thinking that after looking through your book, I thought, oh wow, you know, the Hollywood stars, the in the pavement, each star could have a recipe. Wouldn't that be a fun book?
Absolutely, that would be that's a great idea. Go for it, Nancy.
Yeah,
I'm all right for it.
But this, you know, what's really cool is it really digs into the history, and like there's I mean, you've got the Jell-O thing going on in there. I couldn't believe it. I was like, no, you did not put the Jell-O thing in there.
There was that gross
I call it
recipe.
The Jell-O thing.
Oh, no.
The moving dish.
Yes. Yes. Some of the recipes, I think you wouldn't actually want to eat, but a lot of them are actually absolutely delicious. Let's see. My favorite. I love the recipe for the hot fudge sauce. The original. That's the best. Having a really good hot fudge sauce, homemade. Once you have that homemade hot fudge sauce,
nothing like.
You're not gonna want to go back to some bottle.
No.
Crud from the grocery store.
Yeah, they're always too soupy.
I was interested in the one you had, the chicken basket, like for the picnic under the stars, because he takes you to the Hollywood Bowl. And I think that's kind of, when we think about summer and being able, I mean, right now we're all like, yippee. I don't know what's going on in Chicago, but music is back
out.
And we want back to our summer concerts. And I think that is like a cool dish that people could do.
Yes. Here in Chicago, we have Ravinia, which is an outdoor amphitheater, and it's finally back on. And actually, my big task this week, one of the many tasks in my life, is to purchase tickets to see Stevie Nicks. She is coming to Ravinia, and I can't wait.
You're going to have to make chicken.
I know. I think I'm going to make the Hollywood Bowl spicy chicken in a basket.
I know. I like this.
It's a great recipe to bring to a picnic. It's really, you know, an old, it's a 1950s, 1940s recipe. I think a lot of people don't think to make, you know, that type of recipe, but it's so good. It's perfect for a picnic outdoors. So
yeah, chicken's
always good.
Your dog
wants the chicken.
I know.
I was going to say, it's your dog, normally it's with the dogs. It's so funny. We're all wearing headsets, and Jesse, the dog we're taking care of, actually can hear your dog.
Oh,
and she's jumping up,
gosh.
So you never know. I think maybe it's the chicken. I don't know.
Oh my gosh! Hopefully,
but maybe they want to play.
Now.
I know. Maybe it's the chicken. But what the other part is, like, you're going into these iconic restaurants and just the Hollywood history itself. Mm-hmm. But you're also showing diversity of the people, of the cultures. You've got the tortillas, you've got sushi.
Yeah. You know?
So that was the other part I thought was kind of interesting about the book.
Yeah, you know, I learned so much as I wrote this book, like tortilla chips. Who thinks somebody invented tortilla chips? And that was Rebecca Carranza, who had the smart idea that launched her family into wealth. To save the scraps from her tortilla machines, fry them up and sell them in bags. And who doesn't love tortilla chips? It's an American classic born in Los Angeles.
Also, I was going to make it. I was, we've got all these tortillas. I'm like, you know, I'm going to do that. Then I thought hot oil and we're pet sitting in someone's house. Maybe that is not a good
idea. That might not be a good idea.
but you know, when you're doing this, how did you get the recipes in the, you've got historic photos in there, which is really cool, but did you have to contact the restaurants, or are they out there in libraries, or?
For most of them, I researched. There is a lot of research out there for individual restaurants. Many of them had cookbooks back in the day, so I researched historic cookbooks. For example, Madame Wu, who invented Chinese chicken salad, Blue's beef. She was the first celebrity chef. She drove around in a Rolls Royce that said Madame Wu, MMME. And then
she
Wu.
Met Glenn Campbell too, then.
Yeah. She was driving around town in her Rolls Royce. And she
would have been
first,
12.
She was the first sort of celebrity cookbook author. So she had published a cookbook back in the day, back in the early 60s. So I pulled from that cookbook and I had to modernize many of the recipes for the American palate. For the contemporary palate. I'm sorry.
Well, you're also, you're training to be a sommelier as well, right? So
Well,
you are one. Where are you? Because I'm thinking about your food, wine, and now you're cooking the recipes. You're
not just so as I was writing this book, I thought I'd really like to be able to talk more about wine. I love wine, but I don't really have the vocabulary or the experience. So I started the WSET certification process, which is the Wine and Spirit Education Trust. And I graduated from levels 1 and 2. I'm working on level 3. So I am not a master sommelier. I am nowhere near a master sommelier, but it has been a wonderful, great opportunity for me to learn more about wine and write with a little bit more authority and understanding when I cover wine.
So does
great
it change
homework.
Your profile? Yeah, good homework for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did it help you with the recipes in regard, does it change your palate for food too by learning more about wine?
Absolutely. Not so much for this book, but as my writing continues to develop in culinary history, most of the Hollywood recipes are very American. I could surely make wine pairings for everyone, but you know, with taquitos and spicy avocado sauce, for example, a really good Mexican Coke is the best pairing.
Yes. Or a beer.
Well,
or
a beer. About, yeah. How about pairings for movie stars?
Ooh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun too. That's a good idea.
See, like, Mae West would have to have something spicy. She'd like, no matter what.
Yeah.
Mae West in there, right?
She'd have to have like a slow gin fizz.
I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
A fun cocktail.
Mae West was like, oh, she's so cool. I think she was a pioneer for women to be able to be who, what, and where, you know, we can be our own.
Yeah, I included her in a little bit of her in the Ladies Who Lunch chapter. So Bullock's Wilshire, do you remember that, Nancy? The big department store in downtown LA.
Yeah, Bullock's, I remember my grandmother saying something about it. And I remember she was upset when it went away.
Yes.
Something about, because she used to say, oh, can I say this on the air? She's like, Sears is no Bullocks, but Bullocks to them.
Oh, well,
yes.
Well,
yes.
She was British, so she did the Bullocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think Bullock's was, their customer service for, to the stars was unparalleled. And Mae West would pull up in her car. She would park in the, they had a special porte cochere, they called it, a special covered garage where she would wait. And they would bring the dresses out to her. So she wouldn't necessarily have to leave her car. Does any store offer that kind of service today? No.
I mean, well, COVID kind of.
That
that's about as close. Yeah, I think, and everybody's like, please, can this be over with?
I know, people running out,
but it was curbside pickup of wine. But that's really fascinating getting into that history, because isn't like Spago was also a big deal and still, I still think is, right?
Yeah, Spago, they were very kind to share the recipe for their smoked salmon pizza, which they invented, which was, when that came out in the 1980s, that was, did you see
cat? That is so funny.
My cat loves,
I'm sorry, I'm trying not to laugh.
My cat loves, I know, it's like a three-ring circus here with the animals.
I'm like, she's having an earthquake.
Just sorry behind you. I just see these legs going up.
Every time I'm trying not to laugh. He never goes up there. Only when I'm on a Zoom meeting. He likes to climb on that perch. He sits up there and hope, if he comes back again, I'll get him on camera.
This is great. I love it. It's at least it's not us this time. It's like, okay, I'm enjoying this. Normally, I mean, in a few months, it could be a donkey on the podcast.
I love it.
There's going to be a donkey.
Well, I think this is normal.
I love donkeys. I love
rock, right? Donkeys rock, you know, but I think it's, listen, we record things on site. I mean, anything can happen anywhere. And if everything was perfect and non-animally, it would be really boring.
We can have Mr. Luke on the radio show. Since that's the donkey's name, we can do a radio show with him.
Yes, we will. We'll do a donkey show for sure. Well, that sounded bad.
That sounds really bad.
That did not sound good. Okay, let's go back. Oh, you said salmon. No wonder your cat got excited.
Maybe that was it.
You said chicken for the dog, salmon for the kitten. Okay, so salmon was Spago.
So back to that, before my cat so rudely interrupted me. So when smoked salmon pizza came out, that was an incredible innovation for the American palate and really launched the whole sushi culture that we have here in the US and the mixing of different flavors, the California style. I think smoked salmon pizza encapsulates California cuisine. It's using California products, fresh, light, delicious. Smoked salmon pizza's a classic, and it's not that difficult to make at home.
So that must have been fun cooking all these recipes up, like to see
I am always cooking. I am always testing out recipes, much to the delight of my family. Sometimes not so much to the delight of my family. I'm trying to think, let's see, what were some of the more interesting.
So you did the jello thing. You did the jello.
Oh yes. The chicken and tongue with fresh vegetables and aspic. Doesn't that sound delicious?
You did that. So you made it. You made it.
I tried it. Yes.
What did your family do?
Nobody else wanted to try it. No. I challenged myself cooking it. I thought, let me give this a try. You know, aspic dishes were a big deal back in the day. I had an aspic dish once before when I was in Italy. In some places in Italy, it's still, I'm just searching here in my document for the aspic recipe so I can tell you a little bit more about it from my notes. So I had it before, but as I mentioned in the book, you know, molded gelatin and aspic, they were considered very trendy, very elegant. Refrigerators in the home were very expensive until the late 1950s. Only you know, very wealthy people would have a fancy refrigerator in the home. And gelatin molds, they required refrigeration to set. So they were a status symbol. You were serving Jell-O, a gelatin mold, you were on trend. Hard to believe, but yes. And in October 1934, General Foods sponsor Jack Benny, they created a recipe booklet with every kind of Jell-O recipe under the sun. And the Brown Derby introduced one of these aspic recipes to their menu, and that was chicken and tongue with fresh vegetables in aspic.
No.
And I challenge my readers, rescue this dish from the brink of extinction and dare to test it against modern day taste buds.
It did for the holiday season.
No, I have to say, my Aunt Mona made what she called her Halloween aspic. It's orange Jell-O with floating pieces, chopped up olives. Oh. Pineapple, yeah. Celery. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever tried to eat. I can't even look at them.
But but you know, then England has trifles, so I wonder if they started it, like, just because of the wobbly part.
Yeah, but trifles got custard, which you so love, Lisa.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to be honest. I know.
Aspect, I want to go back to the fudge.
Savory Jell-O doesn't do it for me. But at the time your aunt was serving it, it was considered a very elegant, delicious dish.
It looked like a fish tank with things floating.
But
it does look disgusting as well.
Okay, but what about all the cakes? You have a bunch of cakes. Chiffon cakes seem to be like the big deal of Hollywood.
Yes, chiffon cake is cake that was invented in Hollywood. It was considered the first new cake idea in 100 years. And chiffon cakes were the signature dessert of the Brown Derby, which I mentioned quite often. The Brown Derby was the original celebrity hotspot restaurant. It was the cornerstone of their establishment. They were famous for their Cobb salad and then their classic chiffon cakes, chocolate chiffon cake, orange chiffon cake, walnut, and plain chiffon cake, as well as grapefruit chiffon cake. Grapefruit chiffon cake was the most requested of all at the Brown Derby. It was created for gossip columnist Luella Parsons, who held court at the Brown Derby. She would sit there, take notes. That was where all the celebrities came. It was a great place to
catch
all the gossip. People were literally signing deals, movie deals on the spot there, introducing new stars to Hollywood there. So according to the Brown Derby, Luella was overweight. She held her weekly staff meetings at the Derby, and she threatened to move her meeting if they did not come up with a less fattening dessert. And she told them, put grapefruit on it. Everybody knows grapefruit is less fattening. Well, I don't know if adding grapefruit to a chiffon cake makes it less fattening, but maybe it makes you feel less like you're indulging in something.
That's
like, oh, I'm losing
that's
weight.
That's all that counts.
It's eating my fat as I eat the cake,
exactly.
I love it. But I love the cake part of it because I think it's, you can it's Hollywood is, you can have your cake and eat it too. I mean, really, when you think about celebrity success and the whole trend of how Hollywood has grown, I mean, the moving pictures, look at the industry and how much money is generated from movies.
Amazing.
Not just for the movie stars, but for the writers, the musicians,
and the town itself.
And the towns, the filming locations, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, I think you need to go to Atlanta next because of all the filmmaking going on in Atlanta.
Ooh, oh, I would
have
love
to do some Southern food. Oh,
you know, I was in Atlanta in September. I took my daughter there for her birthday. I had not been to Atlanta for 20 years, and I absolutely loved Atlanta. And we had so much delicious food. Oh my gosh. Oh. One restaurant was better than the next. We loved it.
I know. And I'm just, yeah. I mean, this, I think this is such a cool thing of what you're doing, because you're really bringing the nostalgia in, and the food history really tells you what's going on in a community, the cultures that are living there. What are people doing in Hollywood is fascinating, because mm-hmm. it is so multicultural with everyone moving there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just got it's fascinating. And then of course, now we're going to be, you know, stars. And now this whole mm-hmm. business thing happens. It's like Mad Men. And, you know, it's like, it's just, yeah. And it's iconic, and it's something that people understand around the world. So I think this is going to be a huge, huge, huge book for you. I really do. I think people around the world are going to want this. You know,
I appreciate the support. It was a very fun book to write.
I bet.
As I wrote it, I couldn't help but to think, oh, I wish I had a time machine and I could travel back in time to Hollywood when it was in its infancy, maybe in the 1930s. I think it would have just, it must have been so incredible. Like you said, nobody was really a native of Los Angeles in the early days of Hollywood. People came from all across the country, all around the world, and it made for an incredible, creative place, both in the film industry, in the restaurant industry, and sort of set the trends for the rest of the United States.
It's like Vegas, and being so close to LA and Palm Desert, Palm Springs. I mean, those connectivity points. I mean, so the food in LA had to go out to the desert.
Absolutely. You know? A lot of the restaurants in Hollywood inspired all of the hot celebrity, glamorous restaurants that popped up across the country.
Mm-hmm. It's true. See, Hollywood had true glamour, and I don't think it has it any longer. But that there was that one era of how the women dress, how the men dress, how they treated each other in public.
Yes.
There was a now I don't know, maybe because the media is so much over everything and you see everything everywhere.
Probably, because there was a lot of,
like, they dressed
dastardly things going on in early Hollywood as well, but it was so glamorous. And
yeah, they dressed the part. Mm-hmm. They really dressed. I mean, our stars dress for award shows, but they do just walk down the street trying not to be recognized. So
yeah,
it's not the same.
Absolutely. Early Hollywood was, they really knew how to party as well.
Yeah, that's true.
They, you know, going out to the clubs, there were so many clubs, so many celebrity restaurants. One club that I would love to travel back in time was the Ambassador Hotel in downtown LA. And there was a famous dance club there. It must have just been incredible. The nightclub was called the Coconut Grove. And just every night there was a crazy, wild and crazy night. But everybody was dressed so elegantly. Compared to today.
It's like that, exactly. You know, the umbrella cocktail was a big deal, you know, when you think about it, not just Hawaii, but, you know, well, the Shirley Temple being formed there, you know, you got to think here, like you said, it's the original mocktail, you know?
So yeah, that was fun.
So you could drink your Shirley Temple and then have your Lucky Strike candy cigarette.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just saying. And then
those were the days. Yes,
that's right. Those were the days, my friend. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well,
you could smoke cigarettes. You could drink, and nobody really knew back then how, you know.
Oh my gosh, I know, right?
So you could enjoy yourself, live it up a little bit, and not worry about getting cancer.
No, just eat your grapefruit chiffon cake, and you'll be all right. You know, that's the way to go. I love it. I love it. So I know you travel, you write travel, but where's your next destination?
So my next destination, actually, this upcoming weekend, next weekend, I'm headed to Door County, Wisconsin. It's a little bit close to home, and I'll be exploring maritime history. Door County is right on Lake Michigan. I'll be visiting a few lighthouses. I'll also be going on a commercial fishing trip excursion. I'll be joining up with some commercial fishermen on Lake Michigan, and that will be really interesting for me. I live in Chicago on Lake Michigan. I've never been on a commercial fishing boat in Lake Michigan. So that will be exciting. And after that, at the end of May, I'm headed to Silver Dollar City in Missouri with my daughter. She's a huge theme park fan, and I'm excited to check out the Ozarks. I've heard great things about Silver Dollar City, a lot of very scary roller coasters. I'm going to have to really bolster up my courage for that, but I'm
excited.
Spike
your Shirley Temple for that.
Yes, yes, totally.
Wear your seatbelt.
Hey, hey, listen, that's where we're going to be with the donkey. So,
oh, cool. Okay.
Ray at you across the Ozarks.
Yes, absolutely. So fun. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And then this summer, I'm headed to Italy for a month. So I will be in Rome and Florence, and I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. And that really ties back to your book too, because so much, you know, if you think about Italian history going into LA and Hollywood, there's a whole bunch of that too.
So yeah.
That's a good balance.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. All of the Italian restaurateurs that made it big in LA for sure.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So everyone, I want to give everyone the book name again. It is called Hollywood Dishes, Drinks, and Desserts. So get your grapefruit chiffon cake out now.
Yes.
Ready to make it. Again,
like it's out it. Lose weight now.
I know.
Yes, you can get,
well,
you can get your American palate. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you the weight loss tip is to prepare a lot of the vegetables and tongue and aspic. That is the ultimate low carb dish. And you'll be so sick to your stomach.
I'm dying.
I stole the ask. When I saw that, I was like, seriously, you put it in there. But no. I mean, you have to. That's part of the history. And
yeah,
I think, you know,
I thought it was fun. And who knew that once upon a time, aspic, if you served it at a dinner party, people would think
it was a big deal.
Oh, wow. This lady has a refrigerator. Whoa. You know,
it was a big, big deal.
Yes. It went from being that, the ice, what do they call ice chest to the refrigerator?
I know.
I mean, I have a visual thing. So when you say there's tongue in there, so I see a thing of jello with an actual cow tongue.
Yeah,
just planted right in there.
It is sort of minced.
blood pudding. Oh boy. Well, this is a delicious way to close a segment.
Everybody
go eat your tongue.
On that note, go eat your tongue.
But there are some amazing recipes in there, and what a fun conversation piece too. I think it's like I know there's book clubs and everything, but this is a fun thing if you're having like a game night. I think this would be a fun thing for people to go, okay, everybody bring a dish, you know, if you're playing charades or anything like that. It's a fun kind of party way of, you know, of doing
a
dinner.
I suggest prepping some of the dishes for an Oscars night at home. If you're hosting a movie night, an old movie night, it's a fun way to dig into history, taste history. The best way to enjoy history is tasting it.
I'm with you. I'm ready for some wine and some chicken now, but not the tongue. Everyone, again, it is out May 16th. You can pre-order it and get it through American Palette. And also follow Amy, and it's Amy Bizzarri. So it's B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-I. And you can follow
me on Instagram, and I'm always doing something interesting, going somewhere cool. And I will follow you two ladies because
I want to follow you.
I need to see this donkey.
I'll send you all our links. We're on Big Blend Mag, Big Blend Lisa.
Send me the links. I look forward to listening and sharing and
cool.
Yeah, we're gonna watch. I want to see the roller coaster, and I want to see what's going on in Wisconsin, in Lake Michigan.
I
love Wisconsin.
I'm excited. I know Wisconsin's a great state.
It's beautiful.
So much natural beauty, and I'm excited to be on Lake Michigan. I've never gone fishing out on the lake. I've been fishing lakeside, but never in a boat, let alone with commercial.
She's fishermen. Going on a boat. She's going yes. on a boat. That's cool. With fishermen. Woo.
I know.
You never know what could happen.
I know. I know. That,
well, if it was in Minnesota, you might be bringing lutefisk back. Who knows?
Lutefisk.
Yeah, and you can serve lutefisk with your tongue. The tongue aspect. Sorry. All right. Really, this is a good way of closing. Also, everyone, thanks for joining us. And thank you, Amy. Keep up with the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association. You can go to ifwtwa.org. Whether you're a writer, photographer, author like Amy, also a visitor bureau, a destination marketing, a DMO, you know, all those CVBs, tourism organization, wineries. Everyone should be part of it. Have you been a member for a while?
About a year now. I've been a member about a year. Yeah.
Cool. So you got to see all the webinars that were going on during COVID.
Yeah.
Times.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. I look really forward to a few trips with the group.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
They're really cool. And I love following them on Twitter, especially and Instagram and all of Facebook and everything, but just you follow their hashtag and you literally could just go around the world in a day just following them on social media. It's super
I know
cool.
So many people are going to such cool destinations. So
it is. It's awesome.
Very
and you're
inspiring.
Going to Italy.
Yes.
Very cool. Well,
yes. I can't wait. Okay.
Safe travels. And
all right.
Thanks for joining us. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Every second Tuesday, we talk with a member destination of IFWA. That's what the ifwtwa.org. And then every second Friday with writers. So keep up with us there. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now.